And look at verse 17. As you know, Abraham, in obedience to the command of God, he took Isaac up upon a mountain that God said he would show him, which was Mount Moriah. And Abraham had every intention of offering his son as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now, nowhere in the law that God gave to Moses, which we're kind of in the process of studying on the Lord's Day in our studies in the book of Exodus, nowhere was there ever commandment given that said you had to have a human sacrifice. God never gave that order to anybody else, but he did give it to Abraham. And it was a commandment that Abraham readily obeyed. And I would venture to say, at least in my estimation, I can't think of a greater trial or a more difficult trial that any man in the Word of God ever faced than this difficulty that Abraham faced, the job, the task of offering his son as a sacrifice to God, as a burnt offering to God. I can't think of anything else that would even be a parallel to this, with, of course, the exception of God the Father offering up the Lord Jesus as a sacrifice for his people. But amongst all the population of the people of God, and the people of God as set forth in the Word of God, surely this is, if not the greatest act of obedience, it's right there near the top of the greatest act of obedience of any of the children of God. And Abraham was not hesitant. He believed God and did what God told him to do. Here, look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. His only begotten son. You know, that is an expression used only for the Lord Jesus Christ, with the exception of this portion of Scripture. We read in John 1:14, John 1:18, he's called the only begotten of the Father. John 3:16, he's the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18, he's the only begotten of the Father. 1 John chapter 3 or chapter 4, he's the only begotten Son of God. The Lord Jesus is. And yet the Spirit of God, as he directed whoever the writer of Hebrews was, perhaps it was the Apostle Paul, we're not told specifically. But whoever the writer was, the Spirit of God had him to write these words, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten. And of course the word son is rightfully in italics because it was added by our King James translators. But it's to be understood, he offered up his only begotten son. That is one of a kind. That's what only begotten means. One of a kind. And you know, Isaac was one of a kind because he's a miracle child. He's one of a kind, but he's just a figure or a picture of our Lord Jesus, the God-man, our Savior, that one who is co-equal with God. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is one of a kind. There's none another like him. Name all of the men who have ever lived, who have ever walked upon the face of this earth. None of them even began to commence to compare to God's only begotten Son. He's one of a kind. And it's not by accident it's worded this way, because we know that Isaac was in several ways a picture or a figure, a type of our Lord Jesus. The willing sacrifice. And we see that as Abraham and his only begotten Son make their way to the mountain that God had showed him. And as they bid the servants stay behind, and Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And they get there, and Isaac has been, he's been carrying the wood. He's not a little boy. He's a young man with broad shoulders. And the wood is strapped on his back. He goes willingly to the place where he thought and Abraham thought was going to be the place of his death. That's our Lord Jesus. He went willingly. He carried his own cross. That cross was meant for him. It was marked out for him. And Isaac goes carrying the wood. And when he gets to the place, his father piles some rocks up. And then the wood is put down. Son, put the wood in order here. Just like we do at home when we're going to worship God. I've already told you God will provide Himself a lamb. So spread that wood out. You know how to do it. And he did, because he had worshiped with his father. And then his father said, now Isaac, you get up on the wood. And there's no hesitation. There's only obedience. There's only willingness. Do you not see a picture of our Savior? There's no reluctance about going to the cross. The Scripture says He set His face as a flint toward Jerusalem. And though the disciples said, don't go, don't go, don't, we don't want you to go. Stay away from Jerusalem. He said, I must go. I must suffer many things of the chief priests. The Son of Man must suffer, must die, must be buried, must be raised again the third day. I must. Oh, see Him willingly going. One who, as Isaiah said, was as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. As a lamb who's being led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Of course, a four-legged lamb going to the slaughter, he doesn't know what's about to befall him, but our Savior did. Because He's the Lamb of God who He was slain from before the foundation of the world. He knew what was in store for Him. He knew of the justice that He had to face, because that's His justice. He knew of the law of God that men had broken, because that's His law. He wrote it with His own finger. And He knew the penalty for breaking that law is death. And He knew He was there as the substitute for His people. That ram caught in the thicket by its horns, horns being the symbol of power. Our Lord Jesus, all powerful. How powerful? He's powerful enough to bear all the sins of all of the elect, of all of the ages, and bear them away. That's how powerful He is. How powerful? He's powerful enough to endure all the wrath and the judgment of God that was our due. He bore it till there was no more wrath to be borne. He's God's only begotten Son. He's one of a kind. We've got a Savior who's one of a kind. Because He's not only willing to save, He's able to save. Isn't that wonderful? He's able and willing. Well, now read on. Now look at the next verse, verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In verse 19, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's how much he believed God. It says, from whence also he received him in a figure. He received him in a parable. He received him in a picture. In his own mind, Abraham had already killed that son, and he saw and he believed that God could raise him up from the dead. And I'll tell you, God the Father put his son to death. No argument about that. Oh, I know people debate, well, who did it? The Jews did it. And the Jews say, we didn't do it. And the Romans, others say the Romans did it. And Rome said, well, it was the Jews. I tell you who did it. God did it. It's like, this is a poor parallel, but I hear people arguing about this virus, where it came from. I can tell you where it came from. It came from God. That's where it came from. And that settles the issue. Listen, all things are of God. If words mean anything, that's the truth. All things are of God. When Job's 10 children lay dead from the storms that came, Job said, the Lord gave and the devil hath taken away. That's what a lot of people think it ought to read. But it doesn't read like that. The Lord gave. The Lord took away. All things are in the hands of our God. Aren't you happy? That thrills me. Ain't no use to lay awake at night and worry about what might happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. Our Lord is going to continue to reign. Now, the details of His reign, I don't know. That's not for me to know. That's none of my business. That's in the mind and purpose of God. But He governs all things. So, just don't worry. Don't worry. Only one worry hurts is you. It doesn't solve any problems. The Lord, Abraham said, He's able to raise up Isaac. He's able to raise him up. Isaac is Abraham's only begotten son. Oh, how unique. And we know that God found the substitute for Isaac, a ram. The divine provision. And God provided a substitute for us. Well, who could possibly take our place? What one man could possibly take the place of a multitude that no man can number? As symbolized by that 144,000 you read about back in the office a while ago. Who could possibly stand up to that test and pass it and save his people? Only one. Only one. There's not another like him. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Our substitute. And he suffered by himself. He died by himself. He says in Isaiah 60, chapter 63, he says, I have trodden the winepress of God's wrath alone. And I know that can also apply to his second coming when he judges and deals with all of his enemies. But it also deals with his first coming. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins. By himself. Then he sat down. Well, you see, because God provided a sacrifice and a substitute for Isaac, Isaac was released. Don't you know that was good news to Abraham's ears? Stop! Release your only begotten son. I found a substitute. And you go over into the book of Job. God says, stop them from going down to the pit. Why? I found a mediator. I found a ransom. I found one to die in their stead. Where did he find him? He found him at his own right hand. He found him in his own eternal bosom. That one who is in the bosom of the Father forever. He said, this is the one. This is the one. Go back to Genesis 22 then. So Abraham gave to this place a new name. A brand new name. And it's in verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, Moses wrote, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm fully persuaded that when our Lord Jesus was speaking to the Jewish leaders there in John chapter 8, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. I'm fully persuaded. This is when he saw Christ's day. He saw a substitute for his son. And he saw a substitute for himself and his son and all of the rest of God's elect. And he rejoiced. He's glad. You want to make me glad? Talk about substitution. You want to make me glad? Talk about accomplished salvation. You want to make me glad? Talk about sins forgiven and put away by the bloody sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. You want to make me glad? Talk about righteousness established for an old sinner like me. Makes me glad. Makes me glad. Does you too, doesn't it, Stan? Makes us happy. You're not going to find real happiness anywhere else in the world except in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of substitution. And the gospel of satisfaction. So Abraham gave a new name to this place, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provided. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see. Listen, he saw our need before we even had a need. He saw our need of righteousness before we even had any idea that we needed righteousness. He saw our need of forgiveness before we ever sinned. He saw this. He will always see. The Lord will see. He will see to it. And He will always see the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why I had to sing that song to begin with. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The Israelites gathered in. The family gathered in the house. And they're eating the roasted lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And they're ready to go. Ready to go. Well, where is the blood? Oh, it's outside, on the outside of the door. They can't even see it. I was thinking today, because my mind just kind of works this way. Let's say a father was out there putting that blood, dipping that hyssop in that bowl of blood, you know, and putting that blood over top and putting it on the side. And I say, I bet you didn't put any of that painter's tape on there so he wouldn't get. I'd put it on there liberally, wouldn't you, Joe? Yeah, just slap that stuff all over. And if an Egyptian walked by and said, what in the world are you doing? Well, I said, God, coming through tonight. He's coming through in judgment. I'm putting this blood up here over top and on the sides. I'm not going to put it on down on the dirt, because I'm not going to trample under blood, underfoot the blood of Christ. But I put it on the sides of the door and over the top, because God said He's coming through in judgment. And I want to be safe, and I want my son, to be my firstborn, I want him to be safe. That's why I'm doing it. I bet you that Egyptian said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Israelite father just keep on doing it. Said, yeah, I know it is. I know it. It don't make sense to the natural man. I know. This is what God said. Because God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. See you later, my friend. The Egyptian walked off and the Israelite went back in the house. God came through at midnight. God saw the blood. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see. He always sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, the Scripture says Christ makes intercession for us. That doesn't mean that the Son of God is begging the Father for mercy, begging the Father to save these people, begging the Father to be gracious. Oh, no, no. God is plenteous in mercy. He's gracious. Well, what does it mean? He makes intercession by His very presence. For He is the Lamb of God who was slaughtered for us. As the hymn writer said, five bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They ever plead for me. See, here's my hope. And if you've got a good hope, this is where your hope is too. My hope's not in my faith. My hope's not even in my sight of the blood. My hope, by grace, my confidence, is God sees the blood. God sees the blood. God sees the sacrifice. And He's satisfied. He's satisfied. Yep, Abraham gave a new name to this place, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see. The Lord will see to it. Or the Lord will provide, and He provides for all the needs of His people. Philippians chapter 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God always sees the blood. God sees to it that everyone in whose stead Christ died will come to believe Him. God will provide. You who are the children of God, hold on to this promise. God will provide. He will provide. He will provide all things spiritual. He will provide all things everlasting, eternal. And God even provides all things that we need temporally. I was reading this verse of Scripture and looking at it again today in Luke chapter 22. After our Lord had partaken of the final Passover Supper and then instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, He said to His disciples, "When I sent you out without purse," that means without a little bag with money in it. "I sent you out without money and without scrip, provisions in a leather bag. And I sent you out without shoes." He said, "Lacked ye anything?" That's what He asked. "I told you to go out. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any clothes with you. Don't take any shoes with you. Just what's on your back. That's the only clothes you'll take with you." He said, "Now, did you lack anything?" You know what they said? All in unison, one word: nothing. nothing. We lacked nothing. You know why that is? Because Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Oh, He didn't say He'd give you everything you want. But He will give you everything you need. Everything you need. He said, I'll see to it. And then notice this. Go down here a little bit further. Then the angel of the Lord called out to him again. And he says in verse 16, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Listen, he can swear by no greater. So he swears by himself. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Who is this seed? Well, this seed, it's not his natural descendants. That's not who the seed is. And it isn't even his spiritual descendants, because he's the father of the faithful. Abraham's called that. Who is the seed? According to the word of God in Galatians chapter 3, God said, thy seed as in one, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. God promised that he would make the seed of Abraham great. That's our Savior. Our Savior. And He has made Him great. He's given Him all authority over all flesh, that He would give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. He has all power. He has the authority over all things. And in verse 17, the last statement, it says, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. He conquered all of his enemies. Christ did. See, this is about Abraham and his seed. Not seeds, but Abraham and his seed. That is one. That's Christ Jesus. You read on that Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 through 16 when you get home. And God promised that this seed would be great and numerous. Numerous. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, speaking of our Lord Jesus, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, listen, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. He shall see his people. And Psalm 22 says the seed shall serve him. The seed of Abraham is first of all our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, he has his seed. That's us. That's us. A seed shall serve him. Well, notice this. Look at verse 18 again. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Doesn't that take your mind back to Ephesians chapter 1? How we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All nations of the earth. He's got people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And they're all blessed through the Lord Jesus. And so verse 19 says, and Abraham returned to his young men, just like he told them. He said, you two abide here, and I and the lad will go yonder. We will worship, and we'll come again to you. It goes back to the young men. They rose up together and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And then word came to Abraham about the births of these people. And though he doesn't know it yet, In this information that came to him, there's the name of a young, beautiful lady. And her name is Rebecca. Abraham hears the name of these people. That's good. That's good. But he's going to get to know her. Because that's going to be his daughter-in-law. And the Lord's going to provide for Isaac. He'll see to it. The Lord will see to it. He'll provide. Not to worry. Not to be anxious. No wonder the Lord says, be anxious for nothing. The Lord provides exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Now, honestly, let me leave this with you. Quite honestly now, in your own heart, did you ever dream that God would bless you as He's blessed you? When you were younger, you had no idea what God had in store for you to teach you the gospel of His grace. Leave others in their pagan, heathen, false, religious darkness. But not you. Not you. No. You had no idea of the blessings that He had in store for you. Well, let me tell you something. There are more blessings to come. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, what an encouraging message the gospel is. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for such a wonderful message of good news. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You were Jehovah Jireh back then, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You made provision for Your people, and here we are tonight. 2021, in the year of our Lord. And Your marvelous and bountiful supply has not been decreased at all. Still, You pour out blessings upon Your people in such multitudes, in such magnitude, that when we stop and think about the goodness of God to us, our hearts are just filled to overflowing with joy and with thanksgiving. So we close this service with gratitude and with the prayer of thanksgiving. And even as we so often sing the chorus, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation. So rich, so full, so free. For Jesus' sake, amen.